Shalom, and thank you for listening to sermons from Tikvat Israel, a Messianic synagogue in the heart of Richmond, Virginia. Listening to the podcast is great, but we would love to meet you in person. All are welcome, and that includes you. So if you want the full experience, please join us Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. for our worship service at the corner of Arthur Ashe Boulevard and Grove in the historic synagogue across from the Art Museum. Can't make it in person? No problem. We are also live streaming on YouTube. Contact our administrator at tikvatdirector@gmail.com for the link during the week, or contact us on our website, tikvatisrael.com. There, you can also support the ministry, learn more about Messianic Judaism, and find helpful resources. May Hashem bless you through the hearing of his word.
How many of you consider yourself to be encouragers? Raise your hand if you think you're an encourager. All right, that's good. That's a good thing to be. How many of you consider yourselves to be creative? A few, that's good. All right, we got a lot of creative folks. So now the encouragers. I have a job for you. We're going to encourage everyone to be creative. What do you think about that? You want to do that? All right. Another word for an encourager is a cheerleader. So we're going to do a little cheer. This is how it goes. Be creative. Be creative. B-E-C-R-E-A. And then you take a little pause, you know, and then you do T-I-V-E. Okay, you ready? You ready to cheer on the folks? Okay, here we go. Okay. Be creative. B-E creative. B-E-C-R-E-A. T-I-V-E. Because we be creative. B-E creative. B-E-C-R-E-A. T-I-V-E. All right. That was pretty good. I think we could win a cheer competition amongst other synagogues, perhaps. Yow. Well, today I want to encourage all of us to do what? Be creative. That's right. I want to broaden our understanding of what that means. So why be creative? Well, number one, because God is creative and we are made in his image. He made us to be like him, to make things, to solve problems in creative ways, and to take care of our gardens. Not all of us are creative in the artistic sense, but all of us can be creative. I've told this story before, but when I was in college, I wrote a musical based on the story of Ruth. I remember creating the songs and infusing it with my own unique sense of humor, including also a lot about Messiah Yeshua throughout the story. It was the first time that I had a strong sense that I could see God working. That is, that I was partnering with the God of the universe. And I saw how God brought the right people into the right roles when I was casting it. So originally, when I cast it, the girl who was going to play Naomi was Jewish, but she read through the rest of the script and she met with me and she said, I can't do this. I have to drop out because of the inclusions of mentions of Messiah Yeshua and things like that. And she was not comfortable with that. And I said, okay, yeah, I understand. But then I didn't have a Naomi, right? And then I was like, and I was praying about this. And a friend of the girl who was playing Ruth, she had a Jewish friend who was interested. And so she auditioned and she was perfect. And she was not yet a Messianic Jew, but she liked the script and she agreed with it and she wanted to do it and it worked out great. And each person that was in the play, the Lord brought them. The girl who played Ruth was very kind and compassionate and just fit, her character really fit that role very well. The guy who played Boaz, I kind of added this other element where the Boaz character was really seeking the Lord and the Lord was seeking him. And the guy who played Boaz was also seeking the Lord at the time. There are a lot of testimonies also that came out of this process. What were we doing? We were bringing God's word to life. And so a lot of it was just watching God work and watching God touch people through this creative venture. It was really beautiful. It was definitely a defining moment in my life, where I realized that we could see how creativity meant partnering with the ultimate creator to affect people for good. In 2 weeks, we're gonna have the same opportunity. We're going to put on a Purim play. All right, ready or not? You ready in 2 weeks? hopefully. Okay. I haven't had the chance to do something creative in a while, so I've really enjoyed this process of doing the rehearsals, our story of Esther as a tribute to the 80s. Each person in each part brings humor and joy, but we're also, what we're doing is we're bringing the word of God to life. And there's something about creatively bringing the scriptures off the page that is very powerful. And I think a lot of you may have some experience with that, either from seeing some play or seeing something visualized that you read and just really connecting with it in that way. When Yeshua explained the kingdom of God, he often used parables or stories because we connect with stories. This is from Matthew 13, starting in verse 31. He presented to them another parable or story, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. It's the smallest of all seeds, yet when it's full grown, it's greater than all the other herbs. It becomes like a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches." He told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like chametz, leavening." And this is, he's using it in the good sense. "Which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour until it was all leavened." All these things Yeshua spoke to the crowds in parables. And apart from a parable, he wasn't speaking to them, in order to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet, saying, "I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter hidden things since the foundation of the world." Stories draw us in. They cause us to put ourselves inside them and search out the meaning. This is what Scott Moore encouraged us to do last week with the golden calf incident, to insert ourselves into the story. Stories can explain truths and touch people's hearts in profound ways. That's why Yeshua used them. I want to encourage all of us to be creative, to think about our story with God, and to think about what God has done for us, that we can have a ready answer for the hope that is within us with reverence and humility. Your life may be the only Bible someone has ever seen. This is precisely one of the points of the Esther story. The name of God is not mentioned even once, but the fingerprints of the Lord are all over it. And God did not specifically write my story either, explicitly, right? But his fingerprints are all over my life, and they're all over all of our lives. God has guided and shaped and taught us. He has forgiven us. He has blessed us. He's directed our steps up until this exact moment. And the world needs that. So we tell our stories of his faithfulness. Let's do another, you want to do another cheer? All right, this is from Psalm 107, verse 2. So let's practice it first. "Let the redeemed of Adonai say so, whom he redeemed from the hand of the foe." All right, you ready? Get out your pom-poms. Here we go. "Let the redeemed of Adonai say so, whom he redeemed from the hand of the foe." "Let the redeemed of Adonai say so, whom he redeemed from the hand of the foe." Go. All right. All right, good job. We got some real cheerleaders, some real encouragers here. Are you embarrassed, Robert? It's okay. It only gets better. There's only 5 more cheers in here. Okay. "Let those who have been rescued tell their story." We have to tell someone else what God has done. We all have something. We all have something we can say that God did for us. So when we say be creative, we mean, yes, we mean art and music, but we also mean telling your story. We also mean creative problem solving and creative visioning. I'm reminded of the story of YouVersion. Life Church created YouVersion, the most common Bible app in the world. Raise your hand if you have YouVersion on your phone right now. Okay, a lot of us. Okay? They wanted to creatively solve a problem for their own community of reading the Bible more. Actually, the founder, Pastor Bobby Grunewald, was waiting in line at the airport, and he thought to himself, "I wonder if we're in a moment in history where we could leverage technology to help me engage with the Bible, perhaps even to help others as well." Their church started YouVersion as a website. But then they realized, you know, is there some way we can put this on people's phones? Because everyone has a phone. They were processing this, and as they were processing it, they saw that Steve Jobs announced for the first time these new things called apps. Apps were a new thing at one point, if you can believe it. In 2008, Apple launched the App Store, and the Bible, the YouVersion Bible, was one of the first ones available in the very beginning. They quickly realized they couldn't do it alone. So like many things with our avodah, we have to do what? We have to work with others that have different strengths than we do. So they invited partners. They had Bible translators and publishers, pastors, authors, congregations, and more. They started with two translations, and today they have over 1,000 languages available with the goal of offering it in every single language. And the app, if you notice, has always been free. Have you noticed that? Which means that this endeavor, this creative problem that was solved, was done from the heart. It was avodah of the heart, and trusting God to provide the resources to make it happen. Here's how King Solomon solves a problem with creativity. This is from 1 Kings 3. Some of you may know this story, but I think it's worth it to kind of take a look at it. Later, two prostitutes came to the king and stood before him. One woman said, "My lord, please, this woman and I live in the same house, and I delivered a child while she was in the house. On the third day after I gave birth, this woman also gave birth to a child. While we were together with no one else in the house, just the two of us in the house, this woman's child died during the night because she lay on top of him. Then she got up in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while your handmaid was asleep. She laid him at her breast and laid her dead child at my breast. When I rose in the morning to nurse my child, he had just died. But when I looked at him closely in the morning, I realized he was not the son that I had born." But the other woman said, "No, for the living one is my son and the dead one is your son." But the first woman said, "No, the dead one is your son and the living one is my son." Thus they spoke before the king. Then the king said, "This one says, 'This is my son who is living and your son is dead,' while the other one says, 'No, but your son is the dead one and mine is the living one.' Then the king said, 'Bring me a sword.' So they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, 'Divide the living child in two and give half to the one and half to the other.' Then the woman whose son was living spoke up to the king, for her heart grew tender for her son. She said, 'My lord, please, give her the living child, only don't kill him.' But the other said, 'It will be neither mine nor yours. Cut it in two.' Then the king responded by saying, 'Give her the living child and certainly don't kill him. She is the mother.' When all Israel heard of the verdict that the king had given, they were in awe of the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice." Solomon, just before this, asked the Lord for an understanding heart, and God gave him spirit of wisdom to solve difficult problems just like this. Another kind of creativity is taking care of the creation, stewarding our garden, taking care of our spouses, taking care of our children and grandchildren, taking care of our pets is creativity. Taking care of our own spiritual lives, our own walk with the Lord. Taking care of our garden is creative work. It's avodah. It is our loving service. This is creativity. Plus, sometimes problems come up when we are stewarding our garden, and we have to solve them with creativity, don't we? I asked Clarine for permission to tell this story, so I'm going to tell it. Clarine told me a story once about how she found some kittens, and the kittens, I believe, didn't have a mother. Is that right? And so she had to take care of the kittens, and she was doing pretty well, but there was a problem. The kittens did not know how to meow because they had no mother to teach them. So guess what Clarine did? She got down on their level, and she went, "Meow, meow, meow." She taught them how to talk. She was creatively solving this problem. That's why I say that Clarine is literally the cat's meow. I mean, talk about cool. All right, I'm done embarrassing you. So what empowers us to be creative in all of these ways? Well, let's take a look at this week's Parsha for the answer. This is in Exodus 35. "Then Moses said to the children of Israel, 'See, Adonai has called by name Bezalel, son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. He has filled him with the Ruach of God, the Spirit of God, with wisdom, understanding, and knowledge.'" Can we say that together? wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, in all manner of craftsmanship to make ingenious designs, to work in gold, silver, and bronze, as well as cutting gemstones for setting, wood carving, to make all kinds of skillful craftsmanship. He has also placed in his heart the ability to teach, both he and Aholiab, son of Ahishamach, of the tribe of Dan. He has filled them with wisdom of heart to forge all the works of an engraver, an artisan, and an embroiderer in blue, purple, scarlet, and fine linen, as well as weaving. They can perform every craft and ingenious designs. These men were filled with the spirit of wisdom, understanding, and knowledge to do what? To be creative. To create the tabernacle, the connection point between Israel and God. We also see that not only is creativity a fruit of being filled with the Spirit, but also, what were they doing? They were teaching others. The scripture says he also placed in his heart the ability to teach, both he and Aholiab. So discipleship is creativity, is also part of being creative and the spirit of wisdom. Notice the words that we pointed out earlier, wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. What does that remind us of? Does that remind us of another scripture? Well, the rabbis link this to the creator in another passage. This is from Proverbs 3, starting in verse 19. By wisdom, Adonai founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the deeps were divided and the clouds drip dew. Those are the same three words in Hebrew. So these artisans, Bezalel and Aholiab, were reflecting creativity with the same verbs as God in the creation account. Isn't that amazing? This shows that we are, in a sense, co-creators. We are junior partners with the Lord in our creative work, our creative avodah. This is the connection that the rabbis made in a book called Da'at Zekanim, Wisdom of the Elders. It's a Torah commentary compiled from the 12th century or so. This is from Da'at Zekanim on Exodus 35 that we just read. Bada'at, with knowledge, as it is written there in verse 20. And here it's referring to Proverbs that we just read. By his knowledge, the depths were broken up. These attributes were used again, knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, when Solomon built his temple, as we know from 1 Kings 7:14. They will be used once more when the third and final temple will be built, as we know from Proverbs 24. A house will be built by wisdom. It is established through understanding. Its rooms are filled with all kinds of precious and beautiful riches. I love this connection. The spirit of knowledge is part of the creative process, both for us and for the Lord in the creation of the temple. In the Messianic writings, we understand that here the rabbis are talking about the third temple. And in the Messianic writings, we understand that we are that temple. Scripture says that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And remember that the Lord dwells in his temple. The Lord dwelt in the first temple and the second temple, and the Lord dwells in us by the Holy Spirit. Okay? So the tabernacle and the temple, what was that all about? Well, it's all about reflecting the order and beauty of creation. All of the imagery in the tabernacle and the imagery in the temple, the ornate designs, reflects the creation account. It reflects Genesis 1. For example, the lampstand that was there, that brings to mind the primordial light on day one, the light of creation into the space that God dwells by his presence. So the Spirit of God dwells in you, the temple, in order to do what? To create, to reflect how God creates. Let me say that again. The Spirit of God dwells in you, the temple, to create, reflecting how God creates. So to sum up, here are some of the creative works of the Spirit that we are empowered to do. And these are ones that I mentioned. We are empowered to teach, to disciple, to create, to solve problems, to make works of art that flourish his world, to take care of our loved ones, to tell our stories of God's faithfulness, and more. I'm sure there's more that I haven't thought of. So if you've thought of a few, please come and see me after class. I mean, after the sermon, and we can chat about it. Before I close, though, I want to mention one enemy of creativity, and that is anxiety. Anxiety can close us off into the narrow space and prevent us from being creative. I want to share a little bit from Pastor Peter Steinke. This is from Congregational Leadership in Anxious Times. And yes, he was Amy's childhood pastor and one of my favorite authors. He's describing the need for leaders to be both lions and lambs. And he uses the word differentiation, which is a $10 word. But essentially, it means that we are defining ourselves and making choices based on our values and not based on what we're afraid that other people will think of us. The goal is to be a differentiated self, to make decisions based on our values, to solve problems creatively, but at the same time, to remain connected, to remain in relationship with others. So this is what he says. The lamb side needs connection for support, encouragement, and emotional uplift. Remember, the differentiated, we're talking about the cheerleaders, right? Remember, the differentiated person is one who is always connected to others. Relationships count. The lamb's counterpart is the lion, the responsible adult side that believes in its ability to affect events that have an impact on people's lives, that takes responsibility for self, not blaming or scapegoating, that controls impulsive acts, that works through anxiety and employs self-reflection before making decisions, that seeks objectivity when problems are difficult and complex, that takes clear and well-defined positions based on principles, and that values relationships. Moving forward in the process of differentiation, the leader offers the congregation the opportunity of working creatively. And this is where it links back to creativity. Instead of reacting to change and challenge. There are no guarantees that reactive forces won't derail or frustrate a leader's efforts. Nevertheless, the leader's functioning is not to be based on others' functioning. We are called to lead. Nguyen wrote, "Developing your identity as a child of God in no way means giving up your responsibilities. Likewise, claiming your adult self in no way means that you cannot become increasingly a child of God." This is the lamb and the lion idea. In fact, the opposite is true. The more you can feel safe as a child of God, the freer you will be to claim your mission in the world as a responsible human being. Nguyen places the lamb and the lion together, and the child and the adult, humility and courage, safety in being a son or daughter of God, and freedom to lead, unquote. And this is, you know, it's a leadership book, but we are all leaders of something, right? We are all taking care of some garden, even if it's just our own spiritual lives, if we're leading ourselves. And I thought that this was a good encouragement in terms of dealing with anxiety, making decisions based on the values that God has placed in your heart, but also remaining connected and remaining compassionate to others. Balancing between remaining connected and making decisions based on our values enables us, I believe, to solve problems creatively, to go from the narrow, constricted place to the wide open space, the yasha, the place of salvation, where we can see what God is telling us and act with creativity and light. So are you ready to close with our final cheer? All right, woohoo, here we go. Let's just try it. You don't have to repeat after me. Let's just see if we can do it. Okay, here we go. Avodah, service of the heart. We can be creative with the spirit of smarts. That's knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, you see. Trust God to help us solve problems creatively. Woo! Go, Tikvah! All right. That was fun. Avinu, Father, thank you for your faithfulness to us. Thank you that we can have fun and enjoy you, Lord. We pray that you help us to put some of these things in practice that we read in your word about being creative, and that we would flourish your world, your beautiful world, with art, but also by taking care of folks, by telling our story, by telling of your faithfulness, by taking care of our communities, and by leading ourselves and dealing with anxiety in a mature way, Lord. We thank you that your spirit of wisdom and understanding and knowledge is with us to help us. And we thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Through Yeshua the Messiah, in his name we pray. Amen.